The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter number 28, Text number 13. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on September 11th, 2017, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yavana, Uparudha, Ayatana, Grastayam, Kala, Kanyaya, Puryam, Prajvara, Sangshvista, Ampura, Pala, Anvatapa. Anvatapyata Yavano Parudat Yatsi Yavano Parujat Yun. A little tricky. Yavano Parudayatano Krishtayam Kalakanyaya. Yam Prajvara Sangshrishta Purapalon Vatapyata Yavano Parudat Yatano Krishtayam Kalakanyaya Yam Prajvara Sangshrishta Purapalon Vatapyata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The city's superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kalakanya, and he became very much grieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. Purport. The living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is being finished, but actually the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The so-called scientists of modern age, of the modern age, cannot see how the subtle body is working and carrying the soul from one body to another. This subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent or the city's police superintendent. When there is fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens, but when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless as the life air was ready to leave the gross body. The subtle body also began to experience pain. It's pretty heavy, really, what we're reading about here today. Reading about death, about leaving the gross body, being carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. So as long as one's mind, intelligence, and false are polluted, and one is in the realm of false ego, he must go from birth to birth to birth to birth in this material world. We'll automatically leave the gross body. That'll happen anyway. automatically we will leave our gross bodies. That happens automatically. So the process of Krishna consciousness is how to leave the subtle body. You don't have to endeavor in any way to leave your gross body. That's going to happen anyway. But the subtle bodies, we really have to focus our energies. How to get that subtle body, how to get free from that subtle body. That false ego, you see. That's the problem. Therefore we have to hear. Because by this hearing process we become free from the false ego. This is why Prabhupada said that every single devotee must attend morning and evening classes. These classes are not some ritual. But they're actually essential that we can get free from the false ego. This is Prabhupada's order, morning and evening class we must attend. So how does it work? How is it by hearing the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita we become liberated? What really happens is this. We have a certain taste for material sense gratification. That taste has carried us from one gross body to another body, lifetime after lifetime. That taste has been our inspiration to stay here in the cycle of birth and death. But by hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we get a higher taste. We start to relish a taste which is beyond this material existence. We start to relish a taste which is beyond this material existence. So that's really the key. You got to get the higher taste. Krishna mentions higher taste in chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense objects remains. But by ceasing such engagements, by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness.
Bet apturot šo te garšu, izbaudot augstāku garšu, cilvēks sasniedz augstāku apziņu.
So this is what we have to go for, you see.
Tas ir tas, pēc kā mums jātiec.
If I want to be successful in my spiritual life,
es vēlos būt sekmīgs savā garīgajā dzīvē.
I have to get the higher taste.
Augstāku garšu.
So how does one get the higher taste?
Un kā viens cilvēks saņem augstāku garšu?
Very important thing to understand.
Ļoti svarīgi.
By following the process of Krishna consciousness as it is, exactly as Srila Prabhupada has given it to us, we experience an incredible taste. If we mix it with material sense gratification, if we mix devotional service with sense gratification, it's like taking, you know, a nice cup of sweet rice and putting a little poison in it. This is why we need to purely follow the instructions of Srila
Prabhupada.
Without deviation. Some people say, well, that's really fanaticism, you know, we've got to kind of be kind of relaxed a little bit. And we advocate that one should strictly follow the spiritual master's instructions. They say, oh, you're a fanatic.
Ja kāds saka, ka viss strikt sekoja garīgā skolotāja norādījumiem, tad viņam saka, tu esi fanātiķis.
But what is the actual definition of fanaticism?
Bet kas tad, kā tad tiek definēts, aprakstīts fanātisms?
Fanaticism means to follow without any understanding, you see, blindly follow.
Fanatisms nozīmē akli sekot bez jebkādas izpratnes.
So if one is strictly following blindly, that could be called fanaticism.
Ja kāds ļoti cieši seko, bet akli seko, tad to var saukt par fanatismu.
But if one understands the science of Krishna,
bet, ja cilvēks saprot, zinās,
and strictly follows it, that is the proper situation.
Tad,
it's not fanaticism.
Tas nav fanatisms, tas ir pareizs noskaņojums, pareizs stāvoklis.
And if one criticizes those who are strictly and knowingly following this process,
un ja kāds kritizē tos, kas balstoties uz zināšanām cieši seko šim procesam,
labeling them as fanatics,
un sauc viņus par fanātiķiem,
the criticizers are the actual fanatics,
tad patiesībā tie, kas kritizē, ir fanātiķi.
Not the ones who are strictly following with full understanding.
Ne tie, kas seko ar pilnu izpratni.
So we should not be discouraged by the criticism of fanatics.
Mums nevajag baidīties no tā, ka mūs sauc par fanātiķiem.
Who tell us that we should not strictly follow this process.
No tiem fanātiķiem, kas saka, ka mums nevajadzētu cieši sekot šim procesam.
They were being fanatical by doing so.
Jo viņi, un tā esot fanātiķiem.
We should simply stick to the instructions of Śrīla Prabhupāda very tightly. In this way, we will always have the association of Śrīla Prabhupāda and all the great acharyas. Prabhupāda explains the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and the disciple lives with him.
Prabhupāda izskaidro, ka garīgais skolotājs dzīvo mūžīgi caur viņa norādījumiem, un ar viņu kopāds dzīvo arī viņa audzētājs.
So one who strictly follows the instructions of our beloved founder Acharya Śrīla Prabhupāda.
Un tas, kurš seko cieši mūsu mīļotajam Acharyam Śrīlam Prabhupādam,
always has the lotus feet of Śrīla Prabhupāda on his head.
Viņam vienmēr ir Prabhupāda's lotus pēdas uz viņa galvas.
Bestowing causeless mercy upon him.
Un tas dod bezgalīgu bezsaulīgu žēlistību.
So this is what we actually have to do to get free of the false ego. We have to become fully surrendered to the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. In this way, the snake described here, that serpent, will not be a problem for us. It's actually a nice example. The false ego is like a serpent. The subtle body is like a serpent. So we have to. There's also what's called snake charmers. In India, you know, they play a little thing, and they play some little instrument. And they charm the poisonous snakes. So by this Hare Krishna mantra, we can charm that poisonous snake, the false ego. Bring him under control. We do not deny ego like the impersonalists. They say, oh, the self is false. There is no self. There's only the one impersonal one. There's only impersonal oneness and nothing else. They say that's how you give up selfishness. You just merge into the Brahman. But that is an incomplete understanding. That impersonal Brahman is nothing but the effulgence of Lord Krishna. That impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Lord Krishna. Krishna says, Brahmano pratishtaham. I am the source of that impersonal Brahman. So we read a very nice shloka in the Isha Upanishad. The devotee is praying, "My dear Lord, please remove the dazzling rays of your impersonal Brahman effulgence." So that I can behold your form of bliss standing before me. How much nectar can you taste with a light? It's like if I shine a light in your eyes. You see. You realize, the light. How much delight can you find in a light? If you're a bit, there may be some temporary relief in the light because you leave him seeing so many horrible things in the material world. But that light becomes very boring after a while. There's nothing happening in the light, it's just the light. Therefore, the devotees are not attracted to this impersonal Brahman. They want to meet the personality of Godhead. They want to associate with the personality of Godhead. In so many varieties of loving mellows. Just imagine being part of Krishna's pastimes. Or staring at a light, what would be better? Just imagine, Krishna putting a club jamun in your mouth. Compared to the staring at a light. Compared to staring at a light. So devotees have no interest in this impersonal Brahman effulgence. In other words, they don't conquer this serpent by denying the existence of the self. Instead, they engage themselves in serving the Supreme Self, Krishna. In this way, their lives become very, very blissful. They become situated beyond the dualities of this material existence. This material existence is always up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes you're honored. Sometimes you're chastised. Sometimes you're wealthy. Sometimes you're impoverished. Sometimes you're healthy. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you're young. Sometimes you're old. Walking around in a wheelchair. We're always being bound by these dualities. But the realized soul, the pure devotee of Krishna, he completely transcends all of this stuff. He situates himself in Krishna consciousness purely. That whatever Krishna does is all right. I can be honored, I can be dishonored, I can be healthy, I can be sick, it doesn't matter. I'm simply here to serve Krishna in every situation. There is no situation in which you cannot serve Krishna. So devotee takes great happiness in this, I can always serve Krishna no matter what. When Brahman, he heard how you could even meditate on service. He wanted to offer all kinds of elaborate offerings to the Lord, but he had no financial means to do so.
Viņš vēlējās piedāvāt kungam ļoti tādu daudzveidīgu un
So he simply sat on the bank of the sacred river Kaveri in South India. Meditating on all kinds of wonderful offerings for the Lord. He was cooking this, cooking that. So many wonderful, wonderful offerings he was meditating on. He would go deep, deep, deep into these meditations. So one day he was making sweet rice for the Lord within his mind. And how is sweet rice most tasty? How is it most tasty? When it's cool, right? When it's cool. Cold sweet rice. Hot sweet rice is not so nice. When it's cool, oh, it's very nice sweet rice. So he wanted to make sure it was suitable for the Lord, so he put his finger in the sweet rice to see if it was cool. But he had just cooked it. It was still hot. Actually, it was very hot. He had just taken it off the fire. In fact, it was so hot that he burned his finger in the meditation. And he came out of the meditation and lo and behold, he had actually burned his finger. So Lord Narayan was witnessing this from the spiritual world. How intensely he was absorbed in this meditation. So he sent a Vaikuntha airplane down there to pick him up. This is the great power of devotional service. Even if you're only doing it in your mind, you can get a Vaikuntha airplane come down and pick you up. Who needs Air Baltic? A Vaikuntha airplane can come right down here to Riga and take you back to the spiritual world immediately. He didn't have to worry about leaving his body, he just went. Sometimes it happens, they go back to Godhead and their material body becomes transformed into a spiritual body. This is described by Srila Prabhupada about the Pandavas, that they went back to Godhead in their self-same bodies. So, Prabhus and Matajis, why don't we do it? Why don't we intensely absorb ourselves in devotional service? With such focus, with such dedication that Krishna can immediately take us back into his pastimes right now. Why settle for karma mishra bhakti? Bhakti contaminated with fruitive activities. Why not just tightly embrace prema bhakti? That from now on, let my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, being absolutely, completely pleasing to Krishna. What do I have to lose by doing that? I have nothing to lose except my anxiety. And I have everything to gain. So why not embrace the mood of pure bhakti right now? Why should we cheat ourselves even for one more nanosecond. Let us embrace that mood of pure devotional service right here, right now, on September. Is this September 11th? Wow. 9-1-1. Just like the terrorists attacked the New York City today, let us launch an attack on our false egos today by embracing pure devotional service. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes. No, if you're a devotee and you're not fully qualified to go back to Godhead, you'll take birth again as a devotee. You won't have to go to Yamaraj. Let's say you're only 95% pure, you know. He still has a desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. You still had a tinge of a desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. You weren't quite fully qualified to go back to Godhead. But you were trying your best. Krishna could give you some special mercy and take you back anyway. Or he could give you one more lifetime to finish up your purification. It's really Krishna's choice, you know. That's why we want to be on Krishna's good side. We want to be on his good side, always trying to please him. Really sincere about always trying to please Krishna. Because you're always trying your best to please Krishna in every situation, then even if there's some defect, he can cover for you the time of death. Other questions? Yes.
Is there a difference between the terms please Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna?
They're the same thing. When you give pleasure to him, you please him, it's the same thing. You see, in this way, everybody is trying to please themselves. But they're not really satisfied. In spite of dedicating their whole life to pleasing themselves, they're still not satisfied. Because they're trying in the wrong way. The hand is trying to get the benefit of the food by squeezing it in the fingers. But the actual benefit for the hand is to put the food in the mouth. So if the living entity wants actual satisfaction, he should satisfy Krishna. And then he will naturally be satisfied. By pleasing Krishna, or by giving pleasure to Krishna, the living being will be pleased, he will taste the greatest pleasure. In fact, the word Krishna is sometimes translated by Srila Prabhupada as greatest pleasure. Krishna means greatest pleasure. So, if you want Krishna, that means you want the greatest pleasure. Any other question? Sometimes we don't really understand things. We get kind of bewildered because we're not very elevated in spiritual understanding. Sometimes we're bewildered, we don't really understand things. We take what is bad to be good and what is good to be bad. Because we're still perceiving through our false egos. This is why Shastra Chakshus is very important. Seeing everything through the scriptures. Even in the early days of ISKCON, the devotees sometimes misunderstood Prabhupada also. They couldn't understand Prabhupada. Just like one time Prabhupada was giving a talk at MIT. It's a very famous university in the U.S. called the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So he was talking with one Mayavadi. The Mayavadi said, "Swamiji, it's all one." They're having a rather intense talk. And Prabhupada grabbed him by the bottom of the shirt like this. He said, "It's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball?" If it's all one, Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt and was shaking the shirt. And he said, "If it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball?" Prabhupada grabbed his shirt and he shook and went like this. And he said, "If it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball?" And the devotee said, "Oh no, 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 Swamiji's losing his temper. We got to get him out of here. Call the taxi. Let's get him out of here." The devotee said, "Sadhus never get angry. They're always just Om Tat Sat." They never get angry. But Prabhupada says anger can be used in Krishna's service. Sometimes the spiritual master becomes angry on the disciple, and that's the mercy, actually. Sometimes senior devotees show some anger. It's actually special mercy. In fact, there's a famous pastime about Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya in this regard. Advaitacharya was senior to Lord Chaitanya. Physically. He had actually prayed for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So he was very elderly. He's elderly. Actually, Lord Chaitanya was against the beards. Nobody should have a beard. But Advaitacharya had a beard. And Lord Chaitanya couldn't say anything because he was a senior. So Lord Chaitanya felt like he was missing out on something because Lord Chaitanya was always glorifying him. He felt he was missing something by not always being glorified by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was always glorifying Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya felt, I'm missing some of the nectar. I'm only getting glorification. I would rather be chastised by Lord Chaitanya. When I get chastised, that's even better than being glorified. So Advaita Acharya started talking Mayavadi philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya got very angry. He was chastising him like anything, and he said, now I've got the real mercy. So when our superiors chastise us, that's actually a great mercy. We shouldn't think, yeah, I have to always be glorified, you know, then I'll be happy. If I'm always being glorified, I'll be happy. If I'm chastised, then no, that's very bad. I cannot be chastised. No, what's wrong? In fact, in this connection, Prabhupada said this. He said the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. So it's not that we should act foolishly to get chastised. Like, we don't have to worry about trying to act foolishly to get chastised. We're already doing it anyway. We're so puffed up. We're so stupid, really. I mean, really just stupid compared to the great acharyas. We're all pretty stupid people, dumb, you know, dummies. Mahamudhas, really. If you analyze it, really, compared to the great acharyas, we're a bunch of Mahamudhas. As they say in America, basket cases. We're just a bunch of basket cases, really. But Prabhupada is just like Prabhupada, or just like Lord Rama engaged all the monkeys in helping him to build the bridge to Lanka. Prabhupada engaged all of us monkeys in helping him to take over the world with Krishna consciousness. So what can we do? We're a bunch of monkeys. But we can pray for the mercy that, my Lord, please let this fallen, contaminated person, namely myself, get free from all of this dirt and really become a pure devotee. Just beg for pure bhakti. So how is it we beg for pure bhakti? How is it that we beg for pure bhakti? Prabhupada engaged us in begging for pure bhakti 1,728 times every day. What is that 1,728? 16 times 108. We're begging for pure bhakti. That my dear Lord, may this contaminated, wretched, nonsense person named Sankarshan Das, or whatever your name is, may he become a pure devotee now. May he get out of this stupid, false ego, serpent-like condition. And now become situated in pure devotional service. So if we beg for that, if we beg for pure bhakti, sincerely beg for pure bhakti, Krishna will reward us. Krishna is very kind. He wants us to become his pure devotees. So we sincerely beg for that pure bhakti, Krishna will give it to us. Any last questions?
Yes. So one may think, I beg, but Krishna still doesn't give it. Why?
I'm what?
One may think that I beg, but Krishna won't give it to me. Why? One may think like that.
That's your illusion. You think you're begging for pure bhakti and Krishna isn't giving it to you. Krishna is giving it to you, but you're such a mudha, you're not taking it. Krishna is bestowing pure bhakti on all of us at every minute, but we're not taking it. Instead of taking the jewel, we're taking the stool. He's giving us the ultimate jewel of prema bhakti at every moment. He's bestowing upon us, but we're not taking it. We're taking the stool instead. So we're like hogs. You give him a rasagula, you give him stool, he'll take the stool instead of the rasagula. Krishna is giving you a rasagula, but you're taking stool. You're just like a hog, you see? That's our position. We're not taking the rasagula, we're taking the stool instead. Pretty crazy, isn't it? But Kali Yuga means crazy people, you know. The age of the crazies. So we have to become sane now. Stop being so damn crazy. By taking very seriously the instructions of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. Paldies.
Shrimad Sankarshan Das Gar Maharaj Ki
Jai.